Hey guys, and welcome back to the Pressures Off podcast from the student ministry at Grace Church in Wichita Falls, Texas. Students are under constant pressure to perform, to fit in, to measure up, but in Christ, the pressure's off. And today, we are talking about that idea, the pressure being off. What does that mean? Why did we call the podcast The Pressure's Off? And so, yeah, what do we mean when we say that? And so I've got worship pastor Blake Boyd and communications pastor, right?
Once upon a time.
You're the comms guy.
That's good enough.
You're on comms.
Good enough.
What if
music guy, comms guy.
Title we use like military terms?
Yeah.
Or like agency terms.
Ops,
yeah.
Navigation.
You're comms. You're distraction. You're the distraction.
I'm a distraction?
I just mean like everyone's attention is on you.
Is that what you.
You
think about worship?
Well, not on you. Their attention should be on God, but you're on stage leading worship.
Yeah, you already said it.
Infiltration. I'm infiltrating okay. The lives of...
I think I see where you're going now. Okay.
It wasn't negative.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Sounds negative.
That's fine.
All right. Well, on that note...
Glad to be here.
Well, let's kick things off with a very lighthearted question. Not really, but I've been using the Not Just Sundays cards that I bought. When did I talk about those? A few weeks ago? I can't remember. It was when you and Nolan were on.
Yeah.
The Not Just Sundays box. Advertisement. Yes, that was the Jesus Has a Pet one. Got it from Facebook. I saw it on Facebook. Anyways, I've been using those. And the question I read was, when do you feel most connected to God? I thought that was interesting. Yeah, so when do you feel most connected to God?
Well, I mean, I think for me, being, you know, a worship pastor, I like music. So I think one way I feel really connected is through music. And other than that, I think probably just reading scripture and thinking about it and reflecting on it is probably how I feel the most connected.
It's awesome.
So I found that a lot of things in my life actively work to disconnect me from God. Technology stuff and media stuff tend to pull me away. And so I feel most connected when I can get away and out of that. I've actually got a spot in my backyard that I'm sort of cultivating that's a nice, quiet, isolated, sort of outdoorsy feeling place that I have a hammock. And if I can just go there with... sometimes the Bible, sometimes another book, and just sit and think and pray. I really like it there in those times.
You're creating whole space.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, that's great.
It's cool.
Escapism.
That's great.
Yeah. Escapism. That's what we promote here. Escapism.
Wish I could do that in our backyard. Our backyard is...
Hashtag not a sponsor.
Not great.
Yeah. That's awesome. I feel most connected to God when I immerse myself in Scripture. It's similar to you. Like if I can set my phone aside, not be distracted by it, when I can just go sit down, have my Bible in my lap, if I can just immerse myself in Scripture, Bible study is probably when I feel most connected to God. Because when I'm reading Scripture, it draws my heart to pray. It draws my heart to some self-awareness and recognizing the brokenness in my life. It calls me to action in my life. And that is when I immerse myself in Scripture. And so, yeah.
It's a lighthearted opener this week.
Yeah,
right.
For real.
Yes, that's right. Well, let's get to our game. Okay, so this is just one has to go. I'm going to give y'all several options, and you just have to decide which one you would throw in the trash. You don't care about it. You don't need it. Or maybe you care about it, but you care about the other options more. Mm. Just one has to go. If you're listening, play along with us. Which one would you choose? Roast us if you want, if we made a dumb decision. But let's start here. The options are these. Pizza, burgers, tacos, or wings. Pizza, burgers, tacos, or wings. Which one has to go? Which one are you getting rid of?
Wings.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah, I'm team Jeff on this. Yeah, wings are gone.
So when I get wings, I usually get boneless wings. And if those go, I can still get chicken nuggets and have exactly the same experience, and I'm not ashamed of that, so wings can go.
For, Sorry, go ahead.
I think I'm going to have a real hot take here. I think I'd get rid of burgers. Is that a hot take?
I think
it's
so.
A stupid take.
Yeah. I just, out of the four options, if I had the four options on a menu, and say they're even all the same price, I think I'm all never ordering a burger.
See, I'm going to go this, like, I'm just never going to order wings.
Okay.
I'm going to order a pizza, burgers, or tacos.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, next one. You ready?
Yep.
Summer, fall, winter, spring. Just winter. The seasons.
I'm scrapping winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because it's cold and the weather?
Yeah, I prefer all those other seasons and temperatures, you know.
Yeah.
I like maybe every now and then I like a few days of cold, but I don't like to stay there.
Yep.
I get it. Like summer when it's really hot is not great when you're, you know, but I would still get rid of winter.
Yeah. No, I get it. Jeff?
This was really hard.
Yeah. I thought this was one of the harder ones.
Fall. I'm getting rid of fall.
What? Okay.
Fall?
Are you? Why?
I love fall. Fall is my favorite.
This is playing because it's a terrible
Thank
answer.
You. Fall is my favorite season on this list. And we get 3 days. Ooh. We get 3 days of fall. And so if it goes, like my life doesn't change if fall goes. I wish we had an entire 3 months of fall.
Okay. You chose fall because in Wichita Falls, Texas, it doesn't last very long.
We don't get fall anyway. Like,
that's fair.
Get rid of it and nothing changes.
That's fair. This one was tough for me because when you said fall, I was just shocked because that's when I get to hunt. That's when the weather's beautiful.
I love fall.
That's when football's on. There's so many great things that happen in the fall.
Yeah. Just thinking of weather specifically.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Fall. For me, it's easy. It's the options are between summer or winter. And that's where it gets so tricky. Winter, I feel like I get to do more of the, I don't know. I'm probably going to go winter too.
Yeah.
Summer, my kids are home. You can swim, go to the lake. Winter, you just can't do that stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. All right, next one. Ice cream, and by the way, that includes frozen yogurt. So there's not like a way around this. You can't find, well, I can still have popsicle. No, it includes popsicles, okay?
And shakes.
And like shakes.
Milkshakes.
Yes, okay. Yes. So ice cream, brownies, cookies, or donuts?
Donuts.
You're getting rid of donuts?
Huh. Donuts, out of everything on that list, donuts demand to be a meal. Like you can have
demand to be
like you can
they demand
that demanding donut.
You can have a steak dinner and follow it up with ice cream, right? Or you can have fried chicken and have a brownie when you're done. Like donuts,
they demand
donuts demand to be breakfast. Like
so mean.
Nobody has donuts and some eggs, or like nobody has donuts and the breakfast burrito. Like
I think that's fair.
Like
yeah,
the others are all accessories. Donuts demand more.
And yeah, the others are desserts.
That's too much pressure.
How rude of them.
The pressure's off, man. I'm getting rid of donuts.
You need to go to the nearest donut shop and tell them that.
Yeah.
How rude
yeah.
their product is.
Yeah.
You know, I think you may have just convinced me because I was not originally going to go donut.
Where were you going?
I was going to go brownies.
Wow. Okay. We're more different than I thought.
Well, I mean, you said ice cream and you included milkshakes in that. I can't get rid of that.
Yep. No, I get it.
And I can't get rid of cookies either. I like cookies and ice cream together. Mm-hmm. I like brownies and ice cream together, but I like cookies and ice cream together more.
Whoa. You like cookies with ice cream more than brownies with ice cream?
Mm-hmm. I mean, see, here's the thing, though. I like them both, but I just like, anyway. But I was going to say donut because I love donuts.
Mm-hmm. Big donut guy.
Big donut guy. Big donut. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'll go with Jeff on that.
I'm going cookies. It's not that hard. Donuts. I love donut dates with my kids too much. Brownies and ice cream. That's literally my favorite dessert. Mm. And those are two of the options on the list. So cookies. All right, next one. Beach, mountains, city, or lake?
Lake.
Lake.
Okay.
I know you're not going to get rid of the lake.
Yes,
though.
I'm not getting rid of the lake.
I'm getting rid of it.
Can y'all explain why lake and not beach? I really don't understand that one.
I just don't go to the lake. And like, I don't know. I mean, the lake is just not as relaxing to me as beach and mountains.
That's
and,
crazy.
And, I mean, it, yeah, sorry, it's not. So, and, you know, like sometimes I do like a downtown city kind of, if you're going on a date night or something like that, like that's a lot of fun. And those things are just for me a little bit more, I don't know. I'm going lake
for similar reasons. So like the way Texans use lakes are very active. It's like yeehaw, lake kind of stuff.
Yeehaw!
And
that's how down. Howdy, partner.
Our lakes are all
is that a good
welcome to the lake?
Yeah. Like our lakes are all reservoirs that we built to, you know, speed around on boats and stuff.
It's great.
And it is great if that's what you want to do. And like I would much rather any of the other things on this list than do that. So, huh.
I don't know why I think beach is like the obvious answer and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. Like I had no debate when I wrote this
because of the sand.
When you said you can relax and you have children. So like being on the beach doesn't seem like a relaxing time with children.
I mean, my kids are older and so
that's true.
Now I will say when our kids were super young, the beach wasn't as relaxing.
Okay.
But now as they're a little bit older, it's, like I remember our last beach trip, I fell asleep on the beach, you know, under an umbrella, and it was great.
Nice.
So yeah, I think as they get older, it probably gets easier.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm going with beach, and also at the lake, you got it's dual purpose, right? You can relax and look out at the lake, and you can read a book, and they're accessible all over the place. Yes, there's beaches everywhere too. So I don't know how much
there are beaches at the lake.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
But that's also at the lake, like you said, we can get on a boat.
I like the beach part of the lake more than the lake part of the lake.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Next one. Ketchup, ranch, or Chick-fil-A sauce? Which one would you get rid of? Ketchup, ranch, Chick-fil-A sauce?
I'm getting rid of Chick-fil-A sauce.
Me too.
Okay.
I go to Chick-fil-A, I never get their Chick-fil-A sauce. I'll get their ranch.
So I actually like Chick-fil-A sauce all right. In fact, it's one I usually get barbecue and then I get Chick-fil-A sauce. Mm. I'm not a mustard guy, and there is mustard in Chick-fil-A sauce.
There is.
And so I'll keep the other two.
Is there a sauce that if it would have been the third option, you would have made you think more? Or do you think there's anything that could have dethroned ketchup and ranch?
I don't know. Those
go with a lot.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Or if it was just ketchup and ranch.
Yeah. What if I would have just put ketchup, ranch, or any other sauce, period? Would you have said any other sauce? Would you still stick with ketchup and ranch for the rest of your days?
Probably.
Man.
Maybe.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I probably eat, out of these three, ranch the least. But ranch with sweet potato fries is pretty good. Ranch with a lot of things is good. Yeah, I think I'm getting rid of ranch. But there you go. All right, now we're going to get into the keep one, and I moved the superpowers to this one. You get to keep one, so not one has to go. You only get one option here that you keep. So let's do the superpowers first. Super speed, invisibility, flying, or super strength. Keep one.
I'm going invisible.
Over super speed?
You're keeping invisibility.
Yes. So invisibility is the only one of those that you cannot buy if you had enough resources. I can buy a forklift. I can buy a trip on a jet airliner. I can buy a really fast car. You can't get invisibility without being a superpower.
Yeah, but none of those are convenient.
Yeah, but if you're invisible, you can do lots of stuff that let you fund those other things. Like there's all sorts of no goodness that you can get up to with invisibility.
Huh. Yeah.
I really appreciate your brain. Because you think about these on just a different level.
Yeah, no joke.
I was just going to say I would keep flying. Dude, just because the ability to fly.
It's
just
cool.
It's so cool.
It'd be awesome. I'm going with super speed. And that's because of how Sony portrayed super speed when they revealed Quicksilver. And one of the, was X-Men First Class or something like that? One of the newer X-Men movies, they showed Quicksilver and like they,
he came to join the Academy.
Yes. And the way in which they portrayed his super speed was so cool. I'm picking super speed. I'm keeping that.
That's cool.
All right. Next one. This is, again, a keep one. You get to keep your phone, eating out, entertainment, or your vehicle. So transportation. I didn't say car because you over here have got your little, what do you call it? Is that a motorcycle?
It's a motor scooter.
Motor scooter. So there's no way around this. Like, you can ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
You can do that. Yeah. But like anything motorized, you won't have. So you're your phone eating out entertainment, car.
Or so entertainment made this one hard because that's a really broad, like.
It is.
People going to the gladiator contest in ancient Rome was entertainment. Like, mm-hmm. That's a really big word. So I
like how that's the example.
Well, I mean, like, like, it's not just like movies and you know, video games. It's like entertainment. Like, yeah. That's, wow.
Yeah, you know, because your phone and entertainment could be.
Yeah, like, I went car, exactly. Like, or vehicle. Like, I'm going to have something to get around and do stuff that I need to live.
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Especially with just how often we are going places.
Yeah.
Soccer games, basketball games, all that kind of stuff. Like, got to have a car. So
I am keeping. Oh, gosh.
You walk to work every day?
I'm keeping a car. I'm keeping a car. It is tough, though.
Look at us being all practical. Tough.
I know. Yeah. Almost tempted to keep eating out, but at the same time, eating out is really difficult.
That one, I almost kept that one, too. That was my runner-up.
It's really difficult to keep eating out without a car.
Yeah.
How do you eat out
without
a car? Yeah. All right, last one, guys. Keep one. Always be tired. Or you're always tired. You're always hungry. You're always bored, or you're always stressed. I'll say that one more time. You're always tired, always hungry, always bored, or always stressed. Keep one.
We have to keep a negative option, right?
Yep, like, that's right.
It's kind of different from the other.
I know.
The others.
I'm keeping always bored. So that is.
I think you and I thought the same.
That's the one that's not. That's the one you can fix.
Yep.
So like.
Wait.
Like.
How do you fix it if you're always.
Like tired, it's because you're doing too much and you're unable to sleep or whatever. Hungry is you don't have food.
Mm-hmm.
Stressed is like there's some external pressure putting this on you. Bored is like, get up and go walk outside.
Yeah.
Or like,
100%.
Go kick a rock or something. Like, mm-hmm. You can stop being bored.
Yep.
The others are all forced on you.
But is this question?
I think you'd always be bored, though.
But do you mean like you're incapable of
relieving
that?
Yeah, you can't fix this problem.
It doesn't matter how.
But I would still pick it. It
doesn't matter how far you kick the rock. It's never going to be good enough.
You may start kicking the rock, but you're still going to hate kicking that rock for the miles that you
get. It still sounds better than the other ones.
Yeah, I would go bored as well. Like, same. I could not handle being stressed and being hungry. And yeah, okay.
Yep.
Same.
I'm there too. And if you think about it, it's the only healthy option. Being stressed is not healthy. Being hungry, always hungry, is not healthy. Always being tired is not healthy. Always being bored, there's a health element to that. That's good for you.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to be bored. And I think I'd rather be bored than the other ones. All right.
Well, get used to it.
We did it, guys. Solved the world's problems.
Good job.
Thanks. Thanks. You too. You too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right, guys. Let's jump into our main conversation today. Wow. I am so sorry. Guys, if you're listening to this,
it's a nice addition to the.
I am so sorry.
I wish people could see, though, how bad you tried to.
I tried to hold it.
You moved as far away from the mic as you could, and it didn't do anything.
Oh, man. Gosh. Okay. I hit the button to play the music, took a drink of water. And when I took a drink of water, I choked on the water, but I tried to hold my cough when I choked on the water and I just couldn't get through all the way. Man. Okay. Anyways. So like we said at the beginning,
I can't wait to listen to that.
We are answering the question. Why did we name the podcast The Pressure's Off? What does that even mean? What does it mean? Students are under a lot of pressure, perhaps now more than ever because of media and in the world they live in. I think we all feel it. Adults feel it too. They're not immune to this. But there's pressure to speak, act, look, and think a certain way. And so we're going to just dialogue about that. Thankfully, Jesus has an answer for it. And I'm going to say off the top, it is not an easy thing to live what we will talk about out. Like, it's not an easy thing to live out a pressure-free lifestyle. when you think about the idea of the of pressure being off, that idea probably doesn't mean what you think it means. But we'll get into that. And so why do we call it the pressure's off? But let's start here. What are the various areas of life that y'all would say students may experience pressure? What are some areas of life that you think students may experience that?
So I think part of that that's always been true, even though, like you say, in some ways the pressure's greater now than it's ever been. There's always been this pressure in human society to be like other people that you want to be around. And so whether that is them somehow communicating to you, hey, you need to look like us, you need to sound like us, you need to act like us, you need to think like us or value what we value. Yep. Like that's just kind of part of being human and being in a civilization that happens.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, I was going to say something pretty similar. I mean, I don't think it's really changed much. I remember experiencing the same thing when I was a student and even into adulthood, but just that constantly thinking, you know, what do others think about me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
it's good.
How do they feel about me? What are they thinking?
And some of that may come from your friends. You know, some of that you may pick up on as coming from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it may come from yourself. You may have expectations of yourself that come from somewhere, and so those can be how you perform in different things that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Or even acting like you're interested in things that you're not really interested in, just so you fit in.
That's good.
And I think probably too, there's an element of, you know, social media wasn't really much of a thing when I was in high school and junior high and things like that. And so now I just feel like all those things have been accelerated, you know, of experiencing pressure of, you know, oh, you've got to put yourself out there. You know, you've got to do things like this and everybody else is doing it. And I think that could lead to a lot of pressure for a
definitely.
Student.
I know we're not really talking about social media specifically today, but like, It's made this world where you're comparing yourself
100%
to somebody else's like edited, idealized version of themselves. Like,
yep.
I get your timeline, and that's only what you wanted to show me, and I think that's you, and that's not fair or possible.
You build your perception of their life based on that curated photo. Yeah, that's good. I had a couple categories that you already touched on, but like appearance, your looks, your talents, fitting in, school, sports, extracurriculars, your home life. And then I added another one here, just adopting the values of our world. There's pressure to do that, to conform to the world, which we will touch on that verse later. That's Romans 12, 2. But there is that pressure in our world today to go ahead and adopt the values, adopt the message that the world is telling you to adopt. So I just want to read this verse real quick. We're probably going to read a lot of scripture today. I imagine I've got quite a bit here, just scripture references that will speak to the pressure, that we live in and students live in. But this is the one I want to read just as an exhortation and encouragement for students and whoever else is listening. And it's from 2 Peter 1:3. And Peter writes, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." The reason I just want to start with that is because we've been granted all things in Christ to live a life of abundance. And when I say abundance, I don't mean stuff. I just mean the joy, the peace, the fulfillment that comes through from Christ alone. And Peter tells us, hey, he's granted you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given you direction. He's given you comfort. He's given you strength. And so, yeah, the source of the strength to manage this life or to just live this life is given to us from somewhere outside of ourselves, from someone outside of ourselves. And so I want to touch on a verse that I think is a wonderful verse that speaks to the pressure we experience in life. And it's Matthew 11:28-30. It'll be familiar for a lot of listeners. But how do y'all think Matthew 11:28-30 speaks to the pressure students experience? I'm going to read it for us, and then you guys can comment. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In what way might that verse encourage our students who are under a lot of pressure or stress right now?
So I wanted to take a minute to define yoke because we're not an agricultural, most of us aren't farmers and we don't really know what that means. If you've ever seen an old photograph or drawing of a couple of oxen or cattle side by side that are pulling a big plow or pulling a big wagon, and they've got this sort of wooden bar across the two of them that are linking them together so they can work side by side. That's a yoke. Jesus is talking in an abstract sense here of this thing that's been, you feel like it's on your shoulders and it's weighing you down, and you've got this load you're having to pull, with somebody else beside you. And I think part of the truth that's in that is that we've always got a yoke from the world or somewhere. So why not let it be Jesus's? I think is one of the questions to consider. Because what he says about his is that it's an easy one, and that the thing that you're having to pull is really light, because he's doing so much of it himself.
Yeah,
and he's right there with you in that process.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you're gonna have one, man, let it be the easy one.
Yeah, and just thinking about that more of, and I'm glad you took the time to define that, because I remember reading that at an early age and thinking, okay, yeah, what is that, right? But when you think about that of, you know, if you just kind of put yourself in that situation of being the animal that is, you know, bound to this other animal, right, through this wooden device or contraption that holds y'all together, and just thinking about like, okay, there are so many things that you could yoke yourself to. And, and even those things that you described in the beginning of whether it's appearance or talents or fitting in or school or sports, those can be the things that you are, you know, that you are yoked to.
You're trying to keep up
with these things, and you're trying to kind of meet these high expectations. And yeah, like what Jeff said, God is offering you something far lighter. And it actually, reminds me of, another verse, let me see if I can find it. Matthew 23, verse 4, where it says, talking about the Pharisees, they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. And so it's Jesus is inviting the people, okay, whether you're burdened but with the yoke of the Pharisees, I'm inviting you to something much lighter, much easier to bear. And so come and learn from me. Let me be the one that you're yoked to. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And it's almost this invitation into like discipleship of that we would come and that we would learn from Jesus.
Yeah, that's great.
So like Blake's a massive CrossFit individual. Like,
he's yoked.
Blake is
yoked. In a different way.
Ridiculous.
But
that's so dumb.
I don't know where you're going with this, but he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an excellent point. But like, if we had a trailer out here full of like cinder blocks, and Blake went, hey, to his little boy, his son, I'm going to need you to pull that trailer all the way down Stone Lake Drive to Southwest Parkway. Like that's impossible. But if the reality is that like Blake is going to stand side beside him and really do all of the work and pull this massive heavy thing, accomplishing that work. And what he really needs his son to do is like walk beside him and stay with him in that process. It still is pretty daunting to say like, hey, I need to team up with you to carry this down there, but really I just need you to walk with me. Mm. I need you to be beside me. I've got it, but I do need you to walk with me.
Yeah.
That's a great picture.
Yeah. The image that came to my mind that I wrote down was mowing the lawn under my dad's arms.
Oh yeah.
Like, grabbing that little middle crossbar that's on a lawnmower, and I'm just looking up at my dad and smiling.
I'm mowing the lawn.
I think I'm doing it, and he's behind me. He's taking the brunt of the work. But that's the image that came to my mind is, you know, that's bearing Jesus's yoke. A few other points that as I was reading it, I just considering like if you are under a ton of stress, you feel a ton of pressure right now. The first thing Jesus says in verse 28 is come to me. And so right off the bat, you know, you have someone you can always come to, and he invites you to do that. Number two, the person that is saying that, come to me, is able to bear the labor and the weariness you feel. So it's not just anybody. It's someone who can actually bear your burden for you. And then three, not only bears it, but offers something in return, rest. So you come to him, he can bear your burden. He'll give you something far better, which is rest. And then we substitute our yoke for his, which we've just walked through. He's laboring for us. And I think, you know, that yoke, it's drawn out in other passages. See, Jesus enables us to live the life he calls us to live and to throw off the pressures this world tries to burden us with. He's bearing the weight. So there's still this, meaning there's still a way of life that Jesus calls us to live, but it's not without his help. It's with his help. Yeah. He's the one who enables us to do it, which is part of what it means to throw off that pressure, is because it's not up to us to get the job done. In John 14:16, he's talking to the disciples, and it's the upper room discourse. And multiple times throughout that conversation with his disciples, he says that he's going to send someone after he leaves. He's leaving. And he's like, hey, don't worry. He actually says, it is better for you, which is interesting. It is better for you that I leave.
Yeah.
But John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And so we've talked about Matthew 11. Let's talk about the Spirit. Like, how does the Spirit help relieve pressure in our daily lives?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite passages that I've really, let me see if I can, I have it. One of my favorite passages about this is 2 Timothy 1:7. It just says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Mm. And I think for me, it's just that reminder of what God puts in you is not this spirit of fear, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it gives you kind of this grid when you do experience fear, and when you do experience, whether it's expectations or anxiety or any of these things, it's kind of this grid of okay, remember, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you one of power, love, and self-control. And so how can I lean into that and recognize that what the Lord has given me is a good and perfect gift? Mm-hmm. And how can I lean into that and, you know, also recognize the Spirit's power in teaching me things, mm-hmm. and obviously praying on my behalf, right? And so, yeah, I just think about that in terms of how can I listen to what the Spirit is telling me, or, and not like in an audible way, right, but like
leading you,
leading me, yeah. And yeah, things like that. And so I think that's been a really helpful verse for me, just to have this kind of develop this little grid of when I do have those moments of fear, okay, this is not what the Lord has given me, mm-hmm. you know, just a reminder of like, who God is and what he has given me as a result of putting my faith in trust in him.
Yeah, that's good. John 14:16, whenever all the places that Jesus calls him the helper, that word means paraclete, which is like counselor. And so, yeah, he counsels us, again, not audibly, but he leads and he guides and he convicts and he empowers. And I'm saying he, again, because the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's mm-hmm. part of the Godhead. But he has an active role in believers' lives. And I want students to know that, because again, sometimes the Spirit is discounted and we don't think about the Spirit's role in our life enough, including students. And so students, if you are a believer and you're listening to this, you have the indwelling Spirit who will guide, that you can entrust yourself to, who will give you strength. Romans 8 talks about to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace, and to set your mind on the flesh is death. Now, I'm saying that because many of us, and I can do this too, and students, if you're listening, I know you can do this, but we can set our minds on that list we talked about, the appearance, the talents, the fitting in, the school, the sports, the extracurriculars, as if those are the things that will give us life. That creates pressure in our lives. And that actually leads us to die, in a sense. Like, it crushes us because we're being crushed under the pressure. But to set our minds on the Spirit, that is eternally significant. That's where we find our strength that leads to peace.
Let's say a little more about what a great gift the Spirit is for those of us that are believers. You know, we don't talk about him as much as when we say God, we're usually talking about the Father or Jesus, the Son, Spirit seems so much more mysterious and harder to define, and that generally means we just don't talk about him as much. If you look at the Old Testament and the faithful people who God used to do great things, David, Joshua, etc., they didn't have the Spirit all of the time. When God needed them to do a specific thing, he would send his Spirit. And so like they would get it temporarily. Mm-hmm. He would come to be with them and empower them and let them do the thing. And then, although God still loved them and God was still present with them, like the Spirit would go. And that comes down to some of the things Jesus did to make that possible, et cetera. We get him all the time. Like, he came to us when we became believers, and he doesn't ever leave us. So there's not a moment that we're like, right now I'm without the Spirit, Lord. I really need you to send him to me. What a great difference.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
You know, I also think of Romans, where is it? Man, I keep losing my spot. Romans 28, 26, where it says, likewise, and then this just going to show in the like the gift that you have in the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
He's got your back.
Yeah, and that's what's living inside of you as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
This really cool.
Students, if you want to read about the Spirit, Upper Room Discourse is a good place, but also Romans 8, man. Romans 8 got a lot to say about the Spirit's work in the life of a believer. Now, again, we're honestly, a lot of this conversation is just going to be reading Scripture and dialoguing about it, because Scripture is packed full of things that encourage you down the path to peace and fulfillment and experiencing life in Jesus' name. And we're not going to cover all of them. We're only going to cover a few. But I want to read another one, which is Isaiah 26:3. And this says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." When I consider students and even my own life, when I am under a lot of stress or a lot of pressure, majority of the time, it is because my mind is stayed on something that is not God. It's when I'm distracted by something, when I have given something more of a voice into my life than I should have, that it disrupts my peace. It causes me stress, and I feel a lot of pressure that I should live up to a certain expectation, whether it's an expectation I've created for myself, that others have created for me, whatever it is. But here, Isaiah, he says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And honestly, like a life hack is staying your mind on God, trusting in God. Mm-hmm. And that's not this, it's not this one-time act. Now, you place your faith in Jesus, believing he went to the cross on your behalf, that he's your Savior, and you have a relationship with him that begins then and continues into eternity. But every day, there's an act of faith that we're placing in Christ to find the strength to endure that day. And I think that's what Isaiah 26:3 is talking about. Do you want to?
Yeah, and I think what you said about that is, you know, sometimes it can be really hard when you're, you know, I know that times in my life where I have been maybe fixated on something else, and my mind is on other things, and then it's almost like I don't want to think about God. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do all these mm-hmm. these other things, right? And so what this kind of goes back to your initial question that you asked us of how do we connect with God? And I think that for students, ask yourself that question. How do you connect with God? You know, is it having a space where you can go out and read or worship music or something like that? Because I find that when you have that, like you, using your example mm-hmm. of wanting to read Scripture, when you're doing that, your mind is obviously staying mm-hmm. on God, yeah. who he is and what he has done. And same thing with Jeff is when he goes out into his awesome backyard and is able to look at everything and just kind of...
he's reminded of what's true.
Of what's true, consider God's creation and maybe read some Scripture. But those things help your mind stay, mm-hmm. help your mind dwell on who God is and what he has done.
Yeah. And I think the question you asked is good. What are you dwelling? What is your mind dwelling on? Because you're right. If you're spending an excessive amount of time dwelling on any of those categories we listed, or if you added a different one where you're experiencing pressure in a way that we didn't list, well, that's going to cause pressure and stress.
Yeah, and those times where I have been fixated on even, you know, appearance or talents or whatever, when I'm fixated on those things, I don't want to fixate on the Lord and His Word, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The tension in this is not making this feel like more pressure mm-hmm. on you. Like, oh, now I have to think about nothing but God, right? Like, it's not that. It's
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
This is available to you. Like,
yes.
You could do this.
Yeah.
You could do this.
Yep.
And that would be a great thing. And so it's that gentle reminder rather than like an expectation and an additional pressure placed on you to be this way.
Yes.
Because I fail at this. I'm just going to go out on a very tiny limb here and say, you guys fail at this.
Oh, yeah.
Also. And so even when I'm trying my best to stay my mind on God, I'll have my Bible open, actively reading scripture, but be thinking about that thing that person said to me this morning.
Squirrel.
Yeah. Or like that thing that I have to do later today. The way that thing, that shirt I tried on looked earlier or whatever, like while I've got the Bible open, trying to read it.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to have this 100% success rate, but God is instead saying that, like, I want you to be able to do this, and I've given you what you need to be able to do this. Come on.
I love that you went there, because I think Isaiah 30:15 speaks directly to that. Mm-hmm. This is, so I've just been kind of nerding out on Isaiah because we're about to preach it in the pulpit mm-hmm. here in a little while. But Isaiah 30:15 says this: "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, to the people of Judah, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." That's in quotes. And then after that, he says, "But you were unwilling." And so when I think about that verse, I'm like, he invited them. Like you're saying, it's this invitation to come and experience the
come
peace
to me.
And the joy. Do what?
Come to me.
Come to me. It's this invitation, because he wants what's best for his children. He doesn't want you to experience the pressure and the stress that the world will put on you. And the same was for Israel. He's like, hey, I invited you to return to me, rest in me. And what happens? You'll be delivered in quietness and in trusting me. You'll find strength, but you were unwilling. And so when I first read that, I was like, how often am I unwilling? Either A, because I'm distracted by a lot of things, or mm-hmm. my mind is dwelling on things that are not God, mm-hmm. That I've created idols in my own life that causes pressure in my life. I don't want to be unwilling. I want to be the Israel that God was calling them to be. I want to return to him and rest in him in quietness and in trust. And so I love that you brought that up, because I think that verse speaks to that idea. I want to read this verse now, because a student may be listening, and I hinted at this at the beginning, and I think we've touched on it throughout this conversation already, but God still calls us to a way of life, and that can feel like pressure. We just finished a Sermon on the Mount series. You go read the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives us lots of calls to action. In fact, at the end of chapter 5, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Joe just taught on dying to yourself from the end of Luke 9. But first on 5, verses 4 through 5, I want to read it because it speaks to this idea. We are called to a way of life. First John tells us in chapter 2, he begins the conversation to keep his commandments. You're like, well, that's a lot of pressure. But listen to this. He says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Again, oh, come on, the pressure. And then he writes, and his commandments are not burdensome. mm-hmm. He tells us to keep his commandments. Then he's like, but you shouldn't be burdened by them.
There's that yoke again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The alternative is not great.
Yes. Yeah. To try and live the life you dream of or whatever in your own strength and your own power, do it yourself, grit your teeth. There's no hope there. Mm-hmm. And so I think John can write this because of also verse 4, for everyone who has been born of God, believers, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So even there, he's connecting keeping his commandments to faith, walking by the Spirit. It's not burdensome because God has given us what is needed to live this life of godliness. namely, like we've already noted, in his Spirit and the empowerment of the Spirit, we depend on someone outside of ourselves to keep his commandments. They're not to be burdensome. We're to entrust ourselves to God to give us the strength to do what he calls us to do.
You know, if we go back to our visual earlier of like, hey, little one, I want you to walk. I want you to walk along beside me here while we pull this thing or mow the yard. If you wander off, if you don't do what we were working on together, there's going to be some other yoke waiting for you out there. And it's not going to go well. It's going to be hard. It's going to ask more than you have to give. And so, yes, staying right here with me is doing something, but man, it's easy compared to the alternative.
Yeah.
And it, you know, what's so cool about just going off these examples again is that, you know, if you put yourself, you know, if you're the one mowing the lawn, or if I'm the one pushing some thing of cinder blocks or whatever, you know, what my son would experience and what Millie would experience is not oppressive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not this oppressive commandment. You're just enjoying that time, right? Mm-hmm. And she is getting to experience time with her father.
Yeah, that's great.
And y'all are getting to have this moment together.
Yeah, I love that. Which,
even though y'all are doing something together, even though y'all, and even though it could be hard work, you know, mowing the lawn and things you have to watch out for, right? Yep. Rocks or whatever.
Yeah.
She's probably not even thinking necessarily about all those specific dangers as much as she would if she was just completely on her own.
Yeah.
You know?
It's great. I love that.
So yesterday morning, over coffee, I was reading Psalm 56, and I wrote this down because I wanted to share it somewhere today. David is talking, and if you've never sat down and read the story of David, David had a lot of pressure in his life. David had people trying to kill him. David killed people.
No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. Right?
David did some immoral things. David did some wonderful things, and David loved God very much. And so he begins Psalm 56 kind of in the midst of one of those episodes with, "Be gracious toward me, God, because man tramples on me." Hmm. And I could almost visualize him crawling up to God and being like, "God, please just be like a safe, kind place for me right now, because everyone else out there is just walking all over me."
Yeah. That makes me think of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Who literally was in
the
pen with the pigs, jealous of their food.
Yep.
And he runs to the father, and the father does.
Yeah.
He's right there, and he's a warm, safe home.
Yep.
Yeah. What are some other verses you might point to? Do y'all have any? I've got a few here. I'll start with mine because it's pretty specific, but it applies to this conversation, namely around the idea of feeling pressure because of the expectations of others or the desire to impress other people. Galatians 1:10.
Yep, you beat me to it.
That's
where I was going when you said that.
Galatians 1:10.
Yep. Y'all should read it at the exact same time.
Go ahead.
For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God?
Yep.
Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. I wanted to highlight those two verses because I think it's when we seek to please man that pressure is crushing, and it often leads us to compromise. That in those moments, oftentimes, is when we actually adopt the values of the world. When we compromise our faith, when we compromise following Jesus, depending upon him, is often associated with pleasing man. And if we remember that we are before an audience of one, and we've set our sights on pleasing our Creator, our Maker, our Sustainer, our Savior, there's no pressure. The pressure's off. Why? Again, because of Matthew 11, because he's given us his yoke. And so Paul, man, he threw all those aside. He's like, I'm not doing this to please anybody. If I were doing this, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. No, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a servant of God. My aim is to please him. And the pressure's off because he gives you the strength you need to do that.
I think for me, one verse that, or it's a couple of verses, but it's 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And this is where Paul, he says, "So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me." That's crazy. "To keep me from becoming conceited." And he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So he doesn't remove the thorn. He leaves it, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that may have been. And he says, "Therefore," this is Paul saying, "therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And for me, what this idea goes back to is, I mean, again, going back to that idea of being with our Father. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul is in this to keep me from becoming conceited, right? That he could have boasted in these revelations that he had received. But the Lord says, "No, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to leave this thorn there so that you would know that you are relying on me, mm-hmm. that you need me, that you can't have me walk away from the lawnmower so that you can push it and finish this lawn by yourself. Like, you need me to be able to do this because..." And so then his conclusion is, you know what? I'm content with the weaknesses. I'm content with the hardships, the insults, the persecutions, whatever it may be. I'm content with it because I know that God is right here with me. I know that he's the one that I'm yoked to him. Yep. And I am carrying, like, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's who I am attached to.
I want to read this verse because it goes in line with what the 2 Corinthians 12 passage. But it's interesting. In Philippians 4, now, there's actually two passages in Philippians 4. I'm not going to read one of them, which is, "Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God." That's a great one. Go there. That does help relieve stress.
I've got to say real quick, when I was a little kid, reading the Bible, I remember reading, like, "Be not anxious about it, anything, but everything," and just stopping. So, like, for a long time.
"Do not be anxious about something. Be all of it. All about of it. Everything."
Hey, it goes back to the "which one do you want to keep?"
Yep. So I just had to get that in there.
Always be stressed.
That is a good one to go to, but I'm going to the verses later than that. A popular one is Philippians 4:13, which is what? "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So Philippians 4:13 is one of those verses many people are familiar with, but they don't quite understand the context. And the context, it just illuminates it, which is, he says, "I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." So verse 13 is the answer, is the secret to contentment. He says, "I've discovered it." And that's verse 13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." He didn't say, "I can do all things, period." As much as the world will tell you that you can do anything you want in your own power, you can be independent, that's not true. Paul says, "I can do all things." But how? "Through him who strengthens me." I can be content in abundance and in need and plenty and hunger because of Christ. Christ is who threw off the pressure for Paul every day of his life. All right, let's move on. Guys, let's go ahead and get to this question. And that is for y'all, what is pressure that you currently feel? So just speak personally. What is some pressure in your life that you are currently experiencing? Hmm. And how has the gospel relieved that pressure? Or how is the gospel currently relieving that pressure? I'll give y'all some time to think about that. I'll just share mine. And it's the pressure to be the perfect father or perfect pastor. Like, those are just two things I feel. I feel this pressure to be a perfect father. And real quick, a verse that helps redeem those feelings in me is Lamentations 3:21-23. Jeremiah writes, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Meaning a hiccup as a father, a hiccup as a pastor, does not determine my destiny or my identity. His mercies are new every morning, and his steadfast love never ceases. He doesn't love me today, but won't love me tomorrow if I have a hiccup as a father or a pastor. It's constant. And then I love at the beginning of that of that verse, Lamentations 3:21, when he says, "This I call to mind." It's an active thing. And that if students, if you're listening, some practical implications of this conversation is pausing long enough to call to mind truths, things that are true. Call to mind God's faithfulness. Call to mind and remind yourself the ways in which God has faithfully shown up for you. So that's one thing for me. That's pressure I feel and a way in which God is working on my heart through it.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I think one would be that I feel a pressure that I probably developed as like a survival strategy when I was a little kid, maybe even a pressure to be inoffensive to people, a pressure to not say anything that would really stir the pot or you know, make you disagree strongly with me. But Jesus wasn't inoffensive. And Jesus didn't play it safe in that way,
mm-hmm.
and so I think that's a false pressure.
Yeah.
Another pressure.
That's really good, Jeff.
Another pressure is to feel like I need to do some of these things that we've been talking about that are available to me, but to feel like they're a responsibility or a requirement to make that yoke heavier, like I must read scripture X number of times a day at the following precise times every day. and, you know, and pray in this manner this many times, sitting in this place, facing this direction. Like, it's easy to add on more things and say like, see, I'm doing better. Mm-hmm. See, I'm doing more.
Yeah.
When that's also, that is making heavier the yoke that's supposed to be light. And adding stuff to it. So I think I have a tendency to add on to myself more than Jesus would put on myself.
That's great. Yeah. Well, guys, we got to wrap this up. It's been over an hour, several minutes over an hour. It didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's been good.
And so is there one thing you would hope someone listening to this would take away from the conversation? Like, could you condense it into one statement? If not, that's okay. But
I would find one thing that's weighing you down. Bring that to God and say, help me with this.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just recognize that we all experience pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter how strong you are in your faith, like you always experience pressure. And yeah. So how are you calling to mind who God is and what he has done and just going back to the source?
Yep, it's great. You have an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is your refuge and your strength every day. He does call us to a way of life. He does call us to keep his commandments, but not without himself, not without himself as the source of strength to live the life he calls us to live. Guys, thank y'all for joining me for this conversation. Yeah. That is why we called the podcast The Pressure's Off, because in Christ, the pressure is off. We'll talk to you guys soon.